Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, Calvary Church. Welcome to week number one of a brand new message series called God Math. Now, every time I say that word math, my eye twitches a little bit. I think it's because of growing up, my relationship with math. You know how some people say they've got a love-hate relationship with something? Well, I don't have any love at all for math. As a matter of fact, I grew up with pure hatred for math. I hated it. It was brutal. It gave me anxious feelings. I lost sleep over math exams and math tests, anything to do with math, just the word. Even now, I'm working through the word math. But in this world, math is relatively simple. You give your money away, you have less of it. It seems pretty straightforward, right? But in God's economy, numbers work differently. Generosity doesn't subtract, it actually multiplies. And so this message series is all about discovering the blessing that comes when we generously give. From faithful generosity. And when we trust God with our finances and choose to give, we open this door to his provision of peace and of abundance. And it's an amazing thing, but it starts with our willingness to give. And it may not always make sense on paper, but in the end, God math always, always, always adds up. So this month, we'll explore what it means to be generous Christ followers, and discover how God transforms giving into growth within our lives. Now, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. Let's look at chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13. The Bible says this: After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. They just wanted to be near him. Then Jesus climbed a hill. He sat down with his disciples around him. And it was nearly the time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. And so turning to Philip, he asked, Where can we find bread and buy bread to feed all of these people? Jesus saw what was coming. That's a lot of people coming that are going to be quite hungry very quickly. And so he anticipated the need, and here was Philip. There's nothing like learning how to swim in the deep end of the pool. That's Philip in this situation. Verse 6 says he was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Wow, that's a message in and of itself right there. Right now, whatever it is that you're facing, God already knows what he's going to do in your life. Now, we may not know it, but he does. So we need to choose to trust him. Verse 7, Philip replied, Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. You realize the kind of catering bill, Jesus, that it would take to feed these people? This is an impossibility. Like, it's crazy. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, Hey, there's a young boy here with five barley loaves and two fish. Now, I love the fact that John's account of this miracle includes the boy in the story's details. Now, to be clear, Jesus could have skipped using anybody and just made bread and fish just rain down from the heavens, right? You ever seen those videos online where a little vortex or a little tornado touches down over a lake and sucks up a bunch of fish, and then close by on a road, somebody's driving down the road, and then fish are dropping from the sky. Jesus could have did that. He could have made it rain bread and fish, but he didn't. He worked through this boy's willingness and generosity to give using what was in his hands. That's what he wants to do today in your life. He wants to use what's in your hands to reach the needs that surround you. Scripture goes on to say, but what good is it with this huge crowd? That was Andrew's assessment. Maybe the boy spoke up and said, hey, I got this fish and bread. And he's like, what good is it with all of these people? It's impossible. But the truth is, sometimes the little that we have seems to be useless when it comes maybe to the size of the need that's in your life or the size of the need that's in the life of somebody that you know and love. We think, what good is this really going to do? But in the hands of Jesus, a little, as we see in this story, becomes a lot. Verse 10, Jesus says, tell everyone to sit down. So here comes the plan. Jesus said this at this moment, tell everybody to sit down. He wants them to hear, because there's probably a lot of commotion, a lot of people jockeying for position to try to hear what he has to say. So the Bible says they all sat down on the grassy slopes, and the men in that group, in that crowd, numbered about 5,000. Now that's interesting, because some scholars estimate that the actual numbers of people who were gathering there were probably from 20,000 to 30,000 people, right? Because this number only accounts for the men that were there. There would have been their wives. There would have been their children. That's a lot of people. Then Jesus took the loaves from the boys' hands, right? He gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. And afterward, he did the same with the fish. And the Bible says that they all ate as much as they wanted. So Jesus multiplied what the boy had, and he was about to teach all of them a very important lesson in God math, right? Because the Bible says that they all ate as much as they wanted. They were completely taken care of, and then some. Verse 12, and everyone, the Bible says, was full. Again, meaning that he met everybody's needs. That's a lot of bread, and that's a lot of fish in that moment. Jesus told his disciples, after everyone was full, he says, now gather the leftovers. Now, this is scriptural proof that the Messiah loved leftovers, right? I always thought that this would be a fantastic Tupperware commercial, right? Even Jesus loves leftovers. This would be fantastic, right? So he has them gather up the leftovers in this moment so that the Bible says nothing is wasted. Verse 13 says, so they picked up the pieces and filled, listen, 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Not only did they eat and their needs were filled, all of those people, those thousands of people, but there was 12 baskets of leftovers. That's a lot of Tupperware, too, to take care of them. You know what? We serve a God who not only meets our needs, but he supersedes them. He's not the God of just enough. He is the God of more than enough. See, Jesus always multiplies what you and I surrender to him willingly. The act of giving, it releases divine multiplication. So it really wasn't about the size of the gift, but about the willingness of what the people had to offer. And in this case, the little this boy had to offer. So generosity is actually a partnership, right? The boy gave what he had to the disciples. The disciples gave that food, the little that they had, to Jesus. Jesus gave it to God. He blessed it, the Bible says. And then the disciples gave it and distributed it to the people. So giving becomes a very important part of this miracle that Jesus did. God doesn't require an abundance to do miracles, just a generous heart that gives what it has. He will always multiply what's given from our hearts, whether it's small or whether it's big. It's where it comes from. You know, over the years, one of the things that continues to mark who we are as a church is generosity. We have generously given, all of you have generously given over the years, hundreds and thousands of dollars to world missions, to spread the good news around the world, to to see broken people, addicted people, find freedom and find life. We've responded as a church with big hearts to disaster relief, to war-torn situations, to crisis, even within our own city and our province. We've sent out teams of people and finances to help rebuild communities and touch countless lives. Here at home, every Tuesday, we gather. We have a C group, an outreach C group. That's our small groups here at the church, our Calvary groups. They meet to make soup and sandwiches for our street friends who are in need. And then another group gathers in the evening, and they participate with other churches to give that food to those that need it the most. And we continue to generously support local schools in our area with seasonal food hampers and back-to-school supplies for families that are in need. Not to mention the hundreds of people, young and old, that generously serve every single week here at Calvary on our parking teams, on our host teams, on our hospitality teams, our worship teams, our media and sound teams, our teachers and C group leaders, our kids' church and student ministry leaders and volunteers. And the list goes on and on and on of people who give of their lives, generously give of their time, their talent, and their treasure to see this gospel established in the lives of people young and old. So we are truly blessed to be a part of such a continuing legacy of generosity here at Calvary. Our church is filled with stories of generous people, living generous lives, making a difference in our community. You know, I believe you've never truly, truly lived until you've done something that profoundly affects the life of another person, especially someone who can't even afford to pay you back. You just do it because Christ has commanded us to. It's His love in us that allows us to give and to give generously. So, how important is the concept of giving in Scripture? Because the Bible talks about a lot of different topics, right? It talks about believing, it talks about prayer, it talks about love. But when we look closer at Scripture, at things like these topics I've just mentioned, we see that the word believe is used 272 times in Scripture. That's a lot of times, right? It's important to believe, to have faith, to trust in God. The word pray, very important, used 371 times, even more. The word love, which we know all of this is in vain unless we have love, the word love is used 714 times. But listen, the word give is used 2,161 times in the Bible. That is a significant jump. Why is that? Why is that? Why so many references to giving? Because at the heart of it all, that's what our God is all about. He is generous. For God so loved the world, what? He gave. He gave his Son. So from cover to cover, the Bible is this account of a generous God, a generous, loving God who gave the very best that he had. The truth is, when you're on the receiving end of generosity, albeit an awkward kind of moment to receive, you now are in a position to pass that on and be a blessing to someone else in your life. Psalm 37, verse 21 says, "The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers." That's you and me. We have that possibility, that capability within our lives. We've been created and wired that way. In his image. Proverbs 11, verse 25 says, "The generous will prosper." We prosper as our soul prospers. Listen, but then something happens to that individual because it becomes a part of their lives. Scripture says in Proverbs 11, 25, "Those who refresh others, will they themselves be refreshed." That's incredible. When you give, you feel it. The people that you give to feel it. They feel blessed, but you feel blessed and refreshed because you're bringing blessing to someone else. Something about living with big, generous hearts that is really a reflection of the heart of God himself. You know, when I think of big hearts and generous lives, I immediately think of my parents and how they raised my sister and I, forever feeling welcome and supported by them, no matter how old we are, long after we've moved out and moved on and had families of our own. They were always giving, setting that example of taking what was in their hands and using it to help us and our families to be a blessing, and then trusting God to multiply what they had every step of the way. I also think of my grandparents, who whenever their kids or their grandkids were going through rough times, they were always giving, even out of the little that they had. They weren't giving out of the wealth, they were giving out of their own need, and yet God took care of them every step of the way. Psalm 37, verses 25 to 26 says, "Once I was young, and now I'm old." Now, some of you quoted that scripture when you got out of bed this morning and staggered your way to the bathroom. Oh, like what's going on? "Once I was young, now I am old. Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. The godly always give generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing." So you see, it's a continuing legacy of generosity, which is a reflection of the generosity of God himself. So giving, it doesn't lead to lack. It actually leads to multiplication, leads to blessing, and it leads to overflow through you. We are blessed to be a blessing. When God blesses you, let that blessing flow right through you out and allow it to touch other people. Because unlike human math, where giving means subtraction, God's math turns giving into a means of growth, of spiritual growth as we develop as disciples of Jesus. It's this blessing for others, to the person who gives, and for God's purpose being established in our church and in our lives. So the divine equation for generosity looks something like this. The first thing we need to know is that God math starts where logic ends. Look at the feeding of the 5,000 that we read today. What did the disciples see? What did Jesus see? The disciples saw lack. We're not going to make it. We're not going to do this. Jesus saw potential. Matthew 14, 17, their response was, "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus, this does not add up. Human logic says 5 loaves divided by 5,000 people equals not enough, right? But God math says 5 loaves plus obedience plus faith equals overflow, equals more than enough, equals God's miracle hand. True generosity begins when we offer what we have, not what we wish we had. Isn't that something interesting to consider? Now, let me leave you with some helpful God math equations. The first one is this: little plus surrender equals more than enough. How about this one? Giving minus selfishness equals kingdom impact. Or generosity times obedience equals overflow. You know, today as we close in prayer, I want to ask you two important questions when it comes to your giving. And then I want to leave you with a challenge. The first question I have for you is, are you holding back in fear, or are you sowing in faith when you give? Second question is, will you trust God's math with your finances, your time, and your resources? And then the challenge I want to leave you with is this. As you pray, ask God to make you a cheerful, fearless giver in every area of your life, in your finances, in the time that you afford other people as you serve within the church or in the community, and with your talent, the things God has gifted you with, use those things to be a blessing to others. Because according to the economy of God, giving in that sense never leads to subtraction, but it always leads to multiplication. It always leads to God's miracle provision and his miracles in your life. Let's pray today. Father, we know today that being generous givers starts with receiving the generous gift you've given to us. You've given us your Son to be our Lord and Savior. Today, we realign ourselves with you. And for those of you today that don't know Jesus, today we say yes to him. We accept that gift. Come into our heart, be our Lord and Savior. Forgive us of our sin and help us to live a life that reflects who you are, a generous, loving God. You loved us so much. You gave the very best that you had. You gave your Son to lay down his life so that we could pick ours up and live it with liberty and freedom, celebrating the life that you've given us, not to just be a blessing unto ourselves so that, Lord, we could pass that blessing on to others. I pray that all of us today would be fearless in our trust of you, that we would be cheerful givers, and that we would trust you for every provision that we need. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's very best. Have an amazing week. We look forward to you joining us again soon.